My name is Richard Hill. This is First Tuesday Rainy Day Radio. And now I'm pleased to say that we have two high school students from different parts of the country who are joining us to talk about the youth climate strike and other actions that will begin on September 20th and run through the week to the 27th of September. Joined by Lily Gardner. Lily, are you with us?
Yes, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Lily, by the way, is a junior in Lexington, Kentucky at Henry Clay High School. We also have with us Sarah Berger, if I got that right, Sarah, from Stonington, Connecticut, and she is in ninth grade in the first year of high school there. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. All right, so what we are here to do is to talk about the nuts and bolts of this climate action, which is set to take place on September 20th. But there's so many intersecting issues that come in and around it. I think we should probably first begin by having each one of you just tell us a little bit about how you, at your young ages, got so deeply involved in this that you were prepared to, I guess, walk out of your schools and try to get other students to do the same in the name of saving our planet. So why don't you go for it and just tell us a little bit about how you got involved? I know you are a leader, an activist with the Sunrise Movement, and you can tell us a little bit about how you got started with this. Thank you.
So, like any good millennial, I found Sunrise through a Twitter video. but I think that some of my environmental work started a lot earlier than that. I'm from Eastern Kentucky. That's where I lived until middle school. And so because of that, I observed the effects of fossil fuel extraction on my community for a lot of my life. And that culminated in a climate change exacerbated tornado that hit my town when I was 11. So all of these factors had kind of occurred in my life. And then when I found Sunrise just after the 2018 midterm elections, it was the perfect way to plug this energy that had been building inside of me for a long time into meaningful climate action work.
Beautiful. And we'll come back and you can tell us a little bit about what Sunrise is for those who haven't heard about it. But let's go to Sarah Berger, and tell us, Sarah, ninth grader from Stonington, Connecticut. First of all, what's the name of your school?
Stonington High.
Tell us about your background and how you got activated.
Well, I live in a liberal area, so climate change was sort of always in my consciousness. And I formed my own local environmental group when I was, I think, 12. And I saw an opening at Connecticut Climate Strikes about 6 months ago. And I just decided, you know, we've got 11 odd years, so why not do it?
Yeah, and so the group that you're working with toward the September 20th action is Connecticut Climate Strikes. And so you found that group, and you said you saw an opening. That is, they were asking for leadership, I think. Is that right? Or?
So every branch has a leader and then co-leads, mm-hmm. and there were openings for co-leads. So that's what I am.
Excellent. Okay, so let's go back to Lily. And Lily, can you just give us just a sketch of what the Sunrise Movement is and what its mission is and how it seems to be really drawing in so many young people and allowing them to raise their voices on this issue and so many of the other issues that intersect with climate?
Absolutely. So Sunrise was started a few years ago by a group of 20-something-year-olds who were completely and totally exasperated with the lack of climate action from both statewide leaders and national political leaders. And so it was started as a means to engage young people who are going to be disproportionately impacted by the climate crisis, many of whom are members of frontline communities and already are as we speak, to engage them in a way that was disruptive and that would incite meaningful action that we had never seen.
I think that you folks, your network, and we're going to get to a little bit into the weeds about how big it is and how you connect with each other, but it, in fact, is really in the vanguard of not just talking and acting specifically on climate change, but on the, as I said, issues that intersect with it, like the changes that would have to be made in our economy to actually change to a fossil-free trajectory.
Absolutely. Sunrise is committed to the idea that climate is an intersectional issue. It involves environmental justice. It involves making amends to many of the social and class divides that we see plaguing our society. It involves a just transition. And it, in some cases, involves things like a federal jobs guarantee. So it has all of these very different intersectional components within it. And we really try and highlight those because that's how climate becomes accessible and a tangible reality.
Mm. And I think it is also a way of broadening the movement to include people who are dispossessed, who are disenfranchised, who are have been denied and basically met with injustice over decades, and to draw them into something which they may not actually, you know, on first blush be something they'd respond to, the notion of, well, I don't really have time to focus on the issue of the environment or global warming or those kind of things because I'm concerned about trying to get my family's food on the table. So I think that the way you spelled it out is really important. Sarah, tell us a little bit about the Connecticut-based climate action that you're a member of, this student climate strike that's focusing, actually had a strike, trying to remember the last one. I think it was in March, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
So March 15th was our last one.
Mm-hmm. And so from that experience, were you involved at that point, or did you jump on after that? Oh, you were. Okay. Well, then, so you have the experience to build on for this next one. Tell us a little bit about your organization in Connecticut, and I think it actually is a national organization as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
You can tell us.
So we were very inspired by Greta Thunberg, who, if you don't know, is a Swedish teenager who striked outside of the Swedish parliament every Friday, and I would say she was the catalyst for the movement. So we're sort of the United States counterpart to that, which is Fridays for Future. But, you know, we're a bit different. So there are branches in every state. Some have multiple strike locations. But really, so there's a lead for every state, and then there's co-leads and certain positions. So it's pretty close to Sunrise, actually.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you mobilized for that first one. I think it was the first one in March, you said March 15th of 2019, and how you try to get disparate located students. Like, I know there were students in Brantford who participated. That's the town I live in.
Yes.
But around the state, I mean, what are the mechanisms? I know that social media is obviously involved, but tell us the nuts and bolts of that, because I think it's quite astounding how much communication is required to do these things and how much is actually achieved through your efforts.
So social media, like you said, is huge. That's probably our biggest one. Word of mouth, so people can talk to their friends who talk to their friends, because we're all teenagers, so we all have connections. Like, a lot of the people who came were friends of friends. So that was a big one. And then we also will write into newspapers and news stations. So even if teenagers aren't watching, their parents or their grandparents might see it and tell them about it if they're passionate.
Mm-hmm. And Lily, same question to you. How do you do this? How do you make it come together? I mean, I know in New Haven we have a hub for Sunrise. I've interviewed some of those folks. And just FYI, this station, WPKN, has had, I think, in the past 2 weeks, we've had different leads, co-leads, activists from around the country, from New York and other places, talking about this September 20th action, which we're going to describe in some detail in a moment. But this has really captured the attention of progressives and people, environmentalists. I think labor unions are beginning to try to grapple with the implications of the Green New Deal and decide how this legislation or theoretical structure could include the things that are of interest to their members. But tell us how you operate as an activist out there in Kentucky, and both at the network level in terms of social media, but also within your own school.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question, because in Kentucky, there are these really deep roots in eastern Kentucky where I grew up in of coal mining strikes and activism and advocacy, but we're often painted as a state, as a really conservative state, religiously, politically, and basically our lifestyle choices, and that isn't conducive to activism, at least that's the stereotype. But I think what's been so great is that we've been able to create a Sunrise Louisville hub and a Sunrise Lexington hub that also caters to Appalachians and people from across the state. And we've been able to partner with organizations like Kentuckians for the Commonwealth that have been around since early coal strikes and helped lead the charge for those. So we're able to partner with these grassroots organizations, and that's where we find our strength through working with our communities in that way. And then, I mean, in my high school specifically, I think that high schoolers across the nation and really across the world, we've grown up in a generation in which climate change has been the norm, and where we've had to fear for increased natural disasters or exacerbated natural disasters, and we've had to fear for the opportunity to have a livable future. And so I think because of that, students across the country are energized, they're knowledgeable, they're ready to fight. And I can see that even in my own high school. We have your typical green club. We have a sustainability group that's done incredible advocacy work in my district. And many of my friends and even people who I've only met through social media are coming to our September 20th strike.
Well said. Let's focus a bit on the September 20th actions, as they will occur around the globe, really, because this is an international thing. But tell us, each of you, what you are trying to achieve on that day, September 20th. Sarah, I think I've learned that this demonstration will take place in Hartford, but why don't you just give us the details on it and what you're expecting and what you're trying to, you know, the way you're trying to maximize participation.
Okay, so this time we're actually having two strikes. There's going to be one in New Haven, right by Yale, so we're hoping to get a lot of college students, even though they're mostly older, you know. And then we're having one in Hartford at the state capitol. So the one in Hartford, we'll be dropping off a petition to lawmakers and sort of talking to them about the climate crisis, trying to convince them to, I don't know, be more forward about it. And then we'll also be we're holding a die-in at the Capitol. So for those of you who don't know, the people who are there would sort of lie down and pretend to die. It's in the name. This actually used to happen like cigarette manufacturers. People used to do die-ins in front of them. So now we're just sort of taking that a step further. I will actually be at the New Haven one, though, so okay. I will get to participate in that.
What time does the demonstration in both those locations kick off?
It's not completely finalized yet, but I believe it's like 11 or 12-ish to 2. Mm-hmm. So during the school day, but everybody should be able to be home by 4.
Okay. Lily, so what about the demonstration that you're focusing on, I presume, in Lexington itself? Is that right?
So we're actually focusing on our efforts in Louisville, Kentucky, which is the most populated city. We have a couple of buses that are coming from Lexington, and we're organizing carpools across the state as we speak, because we want this to be representative of all Kentuckians, but we also know that Louisville is the place that we could have the most impact. And so we, beginning at 10 a.m., are rallying in front of the government buildings in Louisville, and we're demanding that our governor, Matt Bevin, adopt policies of the Green New Deal, specifically a just transition, which is something that Kentuckians have been calling for a couple of decades, but also total divestment from fossil fuels. And so he is our target, especially because of his notable lack of climate action.
Yeah, and I think probably, if not manifestly, then very close to climate denial, denying science and the effect of the laws of physics on our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a very tough environment. As Sarah said, she lives in a liberal community in a blue state. We just elected a Democratic governor, and we have a pretty strong, I'm not going to say progressive, but there's a Democratic majority in the legislature, which can just pass, you know, some pretty good legislation. But out there in Kentucky, you're dealing with a section of the country that has been, in fact, stereotyped as being just red to the core, fundamentalists, just opposed to any kind of lifestyle issues that young people are concerned with, not to mention the political spectrum that we're talking about here. What does it feel like to be waving this banner in that environment?
I think it's a couple of things that we have to remember. One, an entire generation has failed mine. Both Democrats and Republicans alike really failed to create climate policy that deterred any part of the crisis that we're facing right now. But I think that the other thing specifically about Kentucky is we do have this facade of being such a red state. But workers across Kentucky have been calling for this action for 30 years. And it's our politicians, such as Senator Mitch McConnell, who claim to represent us and claim to be doing what's best for Kentucky workers, who have systematically ignored them and allowed the fossil fuels industry to leave them in a cycle of poverty or without any infrastructure. And so I think that we're really harnessing sentiments that people have had for quite a while, but have not had the energy or have felt simply too downtrodden due to the never-ending political battle to express. And so we're bringing fresh faces, and we're bringing young people and members of communities that have never been represented in Kentucky or nationally to our strike. And we're hoping that this is the change that we need to incite some action.
Well, I must say that in the past couple of years, I guess leading up to the 2018 election with the Parkland massacre and the activism that took shape around that, we have seen the power of young people come into focus, probably not at a greater level or a commensurate level with actions that took place way back in the 60s when high school students actually were active in the anti-Vietnam War movement and walked out of schools and really were pronouncing themselves as being part of the political process. And so I think that the world is watching the young people now and hoping and waiting for your next inspiration, you know, your next gambit, which so far have been pretty brilliant. So go ahead.
I agree. And I think that that's so important that you mentioned the 60s, because that's the kind of political engagement across the country we need to face a crisis of this scope that we've allowed to continue for too long. And so that's something that we, at least in Sunrise, look back upon quite frequently and use as an inspiration for some of our work today.
I want to ask Sarah, what is it like to walk out of school? I mean, I'm not sure what your school's attitude is. I only have a couple of examples. In Brantford, those students were kind of given a rough ride when they walked out, and they had to do a whole lot of negotiating before and after. They had to get their parents involved. What does it feel like to go up against your school administration? In a sense, I guess you could say it's defying authority, but does it feel that way? And how do you actually convince other students to take that chance?
So this is going to be a disappointing answer, but I haven't actually walked out because the strikes were in Hartford.
Right.
So okay. I actually had to leave before the school day began to even get there on time.
I see. Okay.
However, on the 27th, because I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the 20th through the 27th is a climate week of action, not right. just for youth.
Right. Right.
So on the 27th, I'm going to hold a silent strike at my school, because I would rather not skip twice in a week, even for the climate, unfortunately. So the goal there is to get entire classrooms to just stop talking for the whole day.
Wow.
I think that'll be interesting because there are students who already don't talk. So we can't really I don't feel like we would be punished for that super harshly, but you never know.
Hmm. Interesting. Lily, what about you? What, I'm not sure what the climate in your school is, if it's a, it fits into the stereotype that we mentioned about Kentucky. But, I mean, what's it like to have to go up against your school administration or perhaps even the town government when you risk being branded a truant?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, admittedly, I am truant, but that is an individual act because activism, you know, it takes a lot of time. But I totally agree. I think that, for example, when the March for Our Lives walkout occurred, my entire school was in support because so many, I think 1,500 out of our 2,700 students signed a petition that this was something that they were going to do, and either the school could be supportive or they were going to be suspending 1,500 students. Mm. And so in that instance, they really came around. And I think we have yet to see a walkout of a magnitude in the face of the climate crisis that yeah. would really force them to confront whether or not this was something that they would support. But I know Absolutely. In schools, even in Louisville, kids have been suspended for 3 days for simply walking out for an hour.
And those were political walkouts?
Yes, those were climate-related walkouts.
Wow. So, yeah, so it really there really is a lot at stake for young people in this situation. I think it gets back to the whole issue of student power. Most people, most political actors don't consider students below the age of 18 to have any political currency at all. You know, it's just like we don't have to listen to you. We don't care what you say if you talk. So this gets back to that whole issue of being disempowered. And, you know, I've done a lot of work with youth radio in schools. And so the idea of giving students a voice, I think, is really where it starts. The notion mm-hmm. that you can actually talk to your fellow students and get, as you said, a mass participation where the school has to say, oh, God, which side do we want to be on here? Do we want to, like you said, suspend 1,500 students? And so that ability to speak and the skills involved there, and then the effect of young people speaking up and really declaring that they are political participants in our system is something that inspires many people.
Too young to vote is definitely not too young to have a voice. So that's something that we like to remind people of.
And actually there is, I think it's Congresswoman Presley from Boston, represents a district in mm-hmm. Boston, has actually proposed legislation to give 16-year-olds the franchise. I think you're probably aware of that. So that is something to think about. You know, it's something to organize around. As we come down the home stretch here, let's just give a few more details about the week, September 20th through the 27th. What else is going to be going on that week that people need to be aware of, and how can they connect to those actions, you know, online and in networks? Sarah, why don't you start?
Okay, so the only two huge actions are the 20th, which is student strikes, and then the 27th, which is workplace strike / silent strike. But the week in between is sort of up to you. So I know that me and some of my friends are organizing some local things. We're organizing like a climate roundtable for people to talk about climate, and we're organizing a trash cleanup and some other stuff that week. So if you're looking for an opportunity to get into local climate activism, this is like a really good one. So you could like talk to your library or community center about hosting sort of a talk, giving a presentation, even forming your own group or seeing if there's a Sunrise Hub near you.
And what would be the link online or the Facebook page or whatever for folks to be able to check out the specific actions that are planned already, the Hartford demonstration, the die-in, and the New Haven demonstration, as well as the 27th, which, as you said, is a workplace strike. Is that what you're aiming to do there? And a silent strike in schools. Is there a specific website or a link that people can look at?
Well, if you're local, I would recommend Connecticut Climate Strikes on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. But if you're not, honestly, just Googling September 22nd, 27th, or 20th actions near me, you would be able to see, you know, what's going on. And if there's nothing, I would strongly recommend planning your own, because it's really, it's a lot easier than most people think.
That's encouraging. Lily Gardner, tell us what the link is from your perspective there, best place to keep in touch with this action and upcoming things in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So our hope is that this action is inciting a new era, really, of climate actions and mass demonstration. And so you can find all of the strikes at strikewithus.org, and you can find a local one or Global Climate Strike. But if you're in and around the Kentucky area or know anyone who would, connect with us on Facebook. We are under September 20th Global Climate Strikes.
Okay, and I just want to remind people that you're listening to WPKN in Bridgeport, 89.5 FM, and streaming online at WPKN.org. And we're speaking here with Lily Gardner, who is a climate activist in Lexington, Kentucky. She's an activist with the Sunrise Movement. We're also speaking with Sarah Berger, a ninth grade student from Stonington High School. That's in Connecticut, right up there near the Rhode Island border. Beautiful area and a beautiful town. Well, I want to thank both of you so much for taking time to do this. I salute your activism. I salute your courage. And I wish you great energy as you work toward this action on the, on September 20th and beyond.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Let's do it. Let's keep in touch and do it again if we need to. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye.